Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's right, we are riding with the king on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you, Howard Eskin with us for the 6 o'clock hour. And Howard, we've got a season again to talk about. And how about this? It is Nick Foles. Howard, once again, you were out there on Sunday.
Oh, what a great... It was the excitement. And this, this is just... you feel it when it's different. And I'm looking at the bench all the time, just to see if there's anything going on, to see, you know, and you can understand when they're winning, they're excited.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That happens. It hasn't happened enough this year, but, and that was a struggle in some of the games. I get it. But this game, and that was one of my reports with Merrill, even though at times I couldn't hear him throw it to me because we had some technical issues, but I'm glad that I got most of the stuff on that I think was interesting to the people. I have this game, I have not seen as much excitement, energy, as I saw in this game on the sidelines. Even the coaches, Jim Schwartz was going nuts. I mean, he likes it when they have a good play. Even he was going nuts. And they all try to keep their calm. Deuce Daly is always with the running backs and, you know, giving them that, whatever, that high five.
Little Deuce Daly fist pound high five thing.
Right, whatever. But that's one thing. But the players, there was just so much energy there, and they felt it early. And they came out and played that way. And I'll go to the hotel on Saturday, and guys joking around. And sometimes you don't know how to read that.
Yeah.
You know, you have a big game. Maybe they are, they're not.
Are they just trying to stay loose? Is it real?
Whatever, yeah. But I just noticed, and I'm saying to myself, these guys are really loose. And they're really relaxed. And I talked briefly to Nick Foles on Saturday afternoon. And I saw him and we were talking, not really not football, just kind of things, right? And he was very relaxed, smiling, little laugh. And a lot of times you don't see that, especially with a quarterback. And I watched him and I kind of related a little bit to the Super Bowl when I constantly watched him. Is he staying relaxed? Is he uptight? When he's running a play, and when they come off the field and they didn't have success, and he was just relaxed. Now, does that mean anything? I don't know what it means, but I know what I see, and I know there was excitement. They were playing their ass off, and they felt it. They really felt it. And once they, when they're tied at halftime, they know, I said, they're going to win the game. I said to myself, they're going to win the game. They're going to win the game. And now, I didn't think they were going to get blown out. All these people thought they were going to get blown out. I didn't think they were going to get blown out because they weren't going to let that happen. There's a lot of factors. It's a backup quarterback in his first game. Nick's family was there. He lives out there. There's just so many. The other players lift up their level of play when there's a backup quarterback in there. Maybe they realized, hey, this is it. You know, we're better than this, even with a lot of those guys.
Yeah, their back was fully against the wall. Like, yeah. It was, you know, we had talked about that must wins in other weeks of the season. That was a must win on Sunday. And Howard, like, I don't know how we quantify all this. Sometimes it's stats, sometimes it's feel. The offense just looked better with Nick Foles. Now, I think a large part of this is Carson is not 100%. He's been hurt. We don't know how long the back's been bothering him for a while, probably. And
well,
I still don't think...
Well, I'll say this. Let me just address that since you said it, and I'm going to address it. In October when they put him on the injury report. Yes.
With the back issue, yep.
They, I don't know how many it was, But I know that they've given him MRIs between that point and when they actually discovered something last week. And the reality is, you know, the doctors didn't fall off a truck. Everybody makes it sound like they fell off a truck and they don't know what they're doing. They were constantly talking to him, constantly checking him. Carson was, from my understanding, was very honest with him, met with the doctors. The doctors, from what I was told, met with the agent. So they were all on board, and they didn't discover it until the last week. So whatever the reason, the Eagles should be cautious, and they were, and they had no problem because the Eagles, here's the other thing. The Eagles have the best backup quarterback in the NFL.
Clearly. I mean, they have a guy that you can count on. And here, Howard, whatever the reason is, whether Carson was just off this year or it's because he was injured again, whatever the reason,
right.
He wasn't playing great, and the offense just looked better with Nick Foles.
Sunday, right.
Yeah, and look, it's not just that they scored 30 points. Some of that was the defense helped and they caused turnovers. They threw the ball down the field. They make chunk plays. They weren't making those. It was either dink and dunk. They weren't making, like, Alshon Jeffrey came alive on Sunday, and at 160 yards receiving, he wasn't doing that with Carson Wentz.
The one thing that I will say that I noticed, that, and quarterbacks will do this if they trust the receivers, they'll throw the ball and let the receiver make the play.
Which, with a guy like Alshon, that's his specialty. Right. Let him go make
a
play.
He can jump higher than anybody.
Yeah.
You know, the other guy, if the other guy can jump high, Alshon can jump higher. So he was letting the receivers make the play. And that's what Nick has always done a lot of. And I don't know. I'm trying to remember whether Carson did it last year. He did it with Torrey Smith. Torrey Smith was in the Super Bowl, but he did it with Torrey Smith during the season.
He did it more last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly more last year.
But he had players that I guess he had confidence could go deep. Whatever the reason, yes, there's no question that that Nick Foles ran the offense really well on Sunday. Matthew Stafford has the same injury as Carson Wentz, and he wanted to play because they had a glimmer of hope. But their backup quarterback, I think, is Wheaton. Brandon Wheaton. I don't even know who it is. It's some stiff.
Right. It's not Nick Foles.
Yeah, it's not Nick Foles. So with all that said, Nick Foles did a terrific job.
He did. And look, it's the complete opposite of last week. Last week, they couldn't do anything in the first half offensively. Then Sunday, the first, what was it, eight possessions? It was field goal. They failed on fourth, touchdown, punt, touchdown, field goal, touchdown. They scored in six of their first eight drives. That was the game.
Yeah,
they won the game in the first eight drives.
They didn't punt until the second half,
nope,
right?
Nope.
No, they didn't punt until the second half. And Doug going for it, I didn't like the play call, but going for it.
Yeah, I like the aggressiveness.
I liked it because against that team, you know you're going to have to score. And I should add something else. And Doug Peterson made an interesting comment yesterday, which is absolutely 100% correct. When somebody talked about him as a coach, he says, the coaches get too much credit and too much blame. And they do.
It's the player's game. The player's got to make the plays.
Yeah, they get too much. And for that team to play the way they do, and I forget who was talking about it today. Mike Groh kind of touched on it a little bit, but not in that regard. I think the players had to have and do. Have a lot of respect for Doug Peterson. Otherwise, you couldn't have gotten that game out of them on Sunday.
They gave a ton of effort. Everyone on the field did. 888-729-9494. And I'll say this before we go to the phone lines, Howard. I just have a confidence in the Eagles that I haven't had all year. Like, even after they had come back and won some games, like after the Cowboy game last week, Howard, I had resigned myself. This season was pretty much over. They weren't going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They were done. They still need some help. But I have a confidence now that something happened on Sunday night, and if they win two more games, they don't need much help. They need one Vikings loss. If they get that and they win their two games, this team's going to go back to the playoffs.
Yeah,
The
Vikings, they're going to win this week against Detroit. Stinks. They'll win against Detroit, even though it's on the road. And they're at Dome Stadium. They both play in Dome Stadiums. But the final game, if it means something for the Bears, even though it's in Minnesota.
Which it could mean a bye.
That could be a really difficult game. And here's what. For all these people that are all wound up on run-pass ratio, because obviously the word in Minnesota was, well, they didn't run the ball enough. John DeFilippo didn't run the ball.
And they happened to run it a lot this week and won.
60% to 40%. Well, they had a big lead. That's number one. So that made it easy. But they made a conscious effort to do that. They cannot win against Chicago if they run at that ratio. Kirk Cousins is going to have to pass the football. So the Eagles got to win on Sunday. And if they win on Sunday, there really is a chance, and we might not find out. That game could be flexed to Sunday night.
It could.
Minnesota-Chicago. We might not find out till midnight. that the Eagles are or are not in the playoffs.
Well, look, they got help last night. They got the Panther loss. Win the two games.
I thought the Panthers might win the game, but they did cover. So for the people that bet it,
it was close.
It'll be close because New Orleans is struggling offensively. Just
the Rams,
like
the Rams are struggling.
Are.
The Chiefs are struggling a little bit. The Patriots, the four teams we thought were better than everybody.
Well, the Patriots, I think, are they play so many easy games. But when they get in a tough game, they're just not the same
team. A month ago, those looked like the four best teams, and all four of them now, not what we thought they were.
I never thought the Patriots. It's hard when you lose to get back to the Super Bowl. And in the beginning of the season, I said they weren't. But I still think Kansas City and San Diego are the two best teams over there.
I think the Chargers are the best team.
Yeah.
Top to bottom.
Yeah. It's just it's easy for them to play on the road because they play on the road every game.
Yeah, they just every game's a road game.
Yeah, right. It will be fascinating because if the Eagles win on Sunday, I mean, all hell could break loose the last weekend.
It can. And Nick Foles should be the quarterback in that last week. I'll say it right now. Nick Foles should be the quarterback the rest of this season.
Well, he will be the quarterback because they're playing Washington. I mean, Washington's a joke. So they're playing. He will be the quarterback for whatever reasons. I mean, they've gone this far, so obviously they just want to make sure they don't want to risk
Carson Wentz healthy. And Foles has shown us time and again he could do this. 888-729-9494. Let's talk to Nick in Bethlehem up first tonight. What's up, Nick?
Good evening, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Good. You?
Good,
first
Nick. What's
thing,
up?
First thing, I don't know the difference between compression fractures and stress fractures, but I know if it's anything compression fracture, if there's, you know, any likeness to the two of them, I have three. I've had them since 2001, and it's a painful thing to deal with.
Nick, can I say something to you?
Yes, sir.
And this is not criticizing you in any way. We are not athletes. I had a broken leg.
Absolutely.
I had a broken leg last year that I suffered on Christmas night, but it was the fibula, which is a non-weight-bearing bone. And it was painful for a couple of weeks, but I was there for every play on the sideline, still walked my 15,000 steps a day. But I'm not an athlete. I'm not playing. And what we have doesn't compare to what they have. They play in pain all the
Absolutely.
Time.
Right. Yeah, also, you're not taking hits all the time on the sideline. They're taking hits on the field.
Oh, absolutely. No, I by no means was I trying to compare myself to Carson Wentz at all.
No, I'm not. Yeah, but we're comparing the injuries. And I don't know what compression fracture is, but I know stress fracture is not the same as just a straight fracture. I do understand that part of it. And there was stress on it because the torque. Actually, you know, there's pitchers in the major leagues that pitch with the same injury that Carson has because it happens from all that torquing on the back. I bet you there's golfers that have it.
Yeah,
but they can take a couple of weeks off because if they miss a tournament, nobody says anything.
And a baseball pitcher can miss 15 days and no one notices.
Right,
one game is a lot in the NFL.
Right.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, the biggest thing I wanted to talk about, I should say, we're in the Christmas holiday season right now, and there's one word that kind of sums up the whole holiday, especially for kids, and that word is believe. They have it on the outside of Macy's in Manhattan. You know, it's a big word, and that's what's used throughout the season. This is the time to believe.
So you believe in the Eagles? Is that what you're saying, Nick?
I without, you know, going into details, you know, I knew they were going to win Sunday. My score was a little bit off, only by a couple of points. It wasn't off by much. I'm not really concerned or worried, but Sunday is a huge game.
Yeah,
because,
it's pretty much everything. And, Nick, we appreciate it. Like
every game's a huge
game. Yeah, and I know there are scenarios, Howard, where they could get in winning one of the last two. They have to win both games.
Yeah.
Too much has to happen if they lose one more. And there is a confidence, Howard, that this town has, and we know why. We saw it happen last year, but Nick Foles brings about confidence. Like, I'm listening the last 2 days to this station, I haven't heard people this confident all year. Even after the best games they played, there's a different confidence level when Nick Foles is the quarterback.
Yeah, there's no question. Well, right now there is. I don't know if it's a different confidence level.
This year. Like, Carson is still the future of the franchise.
But he did lose the second game, right? Nick Foles.
Last year?
No, this year.
Oh, the second game of the season.
Yeah,
right. They beat Atlanta. They lost to Atlanta.
And Tampa.
No, to be fair, and I think we saw it on,
Tampa
on
got
Sunday.
Up. Yeah, yeah.
He didn't have Alshon in that game. Alshon wasn't back yet. Goddard was barely on the field in that game. Golden Tate was in Detroit.
Well, Carson didn't have Alshon for two games after that either. Carson Wentz is your future. And people on the air that want to give these hypothetical questions. Who do you keep? You keep Carson Wentz.
I'll worry about that later. What I'm worried about, I'm worried about the rest of 2018.
Yeah,
and right now,
I
want Nick Foles having the ball in his hands. 888-729-9494, #9494 to hop on. And let's grab Steven in Downingtown. What's up, Steven? Steven? Steven on hold. Joe in South Jersey. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Howard. How are you? You know who I am. I was the Friends of Brian chairman for many years, and I haven't called you in a long time.
Good memories go back a long way. But Joe's here too, you know. Yeah, it's Joe's here too. You'd like Joe because he would be good too.
So anyhow, listen, there's so many balls in the air. I mean, look at it. There's everybody's talking about a controversy, quarterback controversy, injuries, you know. You know, how much was playing in the part that the Eagles maybe didn't think they were going to win the game, and they wanted to just run out the season? How much is going on right now about contracts with Bowles? And I don't think there's going to be a contract controversy.
They certainly didn't play on Sunday like they were playing out the season. They went out there to win that game, Joe. I mean, they played hard the whole time.
But I know that. I don't know about what the front office thinks. You know, Bowles is on a performance contract. He gets paid by the game almost right now. He has a base salary. How much did they want to rush Bowles out? I mean, rush Wentz out there in the beginning of the season I just think there's just too many balls in the air.
I think you're overthinking this,
Joe. Yeah, I think we need to simplify this, Joe. We appreciate the phone call.
Yeah,
Carson Wentz is hurt right now, and Nick Foles just won their biggest
Nick
game of the
Foles
season.
Nick Foles gets $250,000 if he starts.
And then $250,000 for a win. So you got $500,000 on Sunday night.
Yeah, but I guess that's nice, but that's chump change. He's going to make $10 million this year, whatever that is.
And it's chump change for the Eagles. Like, yes. They're not sweating his dollars per game.
And I don't think Nick Foles is going out there and playing like that because he's getting money because he's playing. It's just he's prepared, and that's the good thing about him. Obviously, he's got mental reps. The quarterbacks get along. They're doing everything that they're supposed to do. He runs the scout team during the season, so he's not even working with his receivers, and that's what's nice, too.
And he's done this before. Like, I don't think this is easy, what he's been asked to do 2 years in a row. Like, just – you're the backup. We didn't talk about Nick Foles once, you and I, for 3 months, Howard, and then he's thrust back into the spotlight and he's got to go win a game. I think it's a very unique skill he has to just wake up one day and say, you're back, Nick, and he goes and plays well. That's not easy.
You know what? When that first season when he had 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, and then when he struggled, I kind of noticed something. And then last year, remember at the end of the season, he won the game in L.A., helped win the game in
L.A.
Won
the Giants game.
Okay. And then he had a week off before the playoffs. I love it. Let me just bring this up, too. People in this town, remember they were saying, well, would you think you should go because he struggled the last game, right, or the last couple games?
He struggled against the Raiders on Christmas, and then he struggled the first quarter against the Cowboys. They looked awful that day. Remember
that? There was a turnover that created that. But people are saying, well, should they go to Nate Sudfeld?
Yep.
This is the nonsense and the joke that people, the overreaction of people in this town, everybody. There was actually a question at a Doug Peterson news conference. Are you thinking about Nate Sudfeld? You know, I wanted to break out in laughter and not stop laughing for the next 10 minutes. It was such an asinine, stupid, moronic question.
Part of that, though, is Nick Foles' highs and lows. When Nick is bad, Nick's bad. And then when he's good, he's great.
I think what he did in that week off, he trusts himself. When he sees it, he throws it.
Got the ball out quick on Sunday.
I'll never forget that first season where he threw through tight windows. He wasn't afraid to throw the ball. And you have to have confidence in yourself, and I think that's what Nick was on Sunday.
After the game, Lane Johnson, I forget if it was NBC Sports or if it was it was either the local thing or here was NBC with the game on Sunday, Howard, but they got him on the field after the game, and they asked him, what was the difference today? Like, what? Why did this work so well? And one of the things he said, he mentioned the run game, play calling, blocking. He did everything. He said, and Nick got the ball out quick. Like, he was very Nick
decisive, and he made decision and went through with it. Yep, he made his decision, and that's what I noticed in the week off last year for the playoffs. That's the last time I noticed it. Saying he's going to be fine because I just something about him. He looked at tapes and realized what he did, and that's what he's got to do. He can't worry about it. It is easier for the back. He's got nothing to worry about. It is easier for the backup because it doesn't make any difference. There's no expectations.
Especially this time for Foles. Like now. He did this once already.
Yeah. So there's no expectations. He's the backup quarterback. But he did a really nice job. But for people that think, well, who should be the quarterback? Carson Wentz is your quarterback.
888-729-9494.
In the future, I'm talking about.
#9494 to hop on in. Howard Eskin is here. We're talking Eagles. It's Nick Foles and the Eagles win in Los Angeles, and they are very much alive for the postseason with Nick right now as their quarterback. 888-729-9494 to hop in. Sports Radio 94 WIP. 6:25 on a Tuesday night. Joe Giglio, Howard Eskin with you. Sports Radio 94 WIP. 888-729-9494. Let's talk some Nick Foles, Eagles. And before our hour is over, Howard, you have a Sixers trade you want to throw out there?
It wouldn't be a trade.
Free agent?
Well, here's what I propose after the season. And people can say what they want. They laughed at me when I said the Sixers should have traded Ben Simmons for Kawhi Leonard.
They'll laugh again at this, but it's all right.
They would be in the finals with Embiid, Butler, and Kawhi Leonard. But, okay, so now, and they'd be fine with T.J. McConnell at guard. I want the Sixers to sign Kemba Walker as a free agent. And then, because he's the point guard, then you would trade Ben Simmons. And here's part of the thinking behind that. And this would make them a better team. You can only have so many max contracts.
Three is basically your max.
Okay. So Embiid's on a max. Butler's going to be on a max. And Kemba Walker would be on a max. And then Simmons would come up in 1 or 2 years.
They could do it as early as this summer. But, yeah, one or two.
Yeah, okay. But do you want a max contract for Ben Simmons if you can have Kemba Walker? You can't fit them all in anyway. So here's basically what I'm saying. Would you rather have Kemba Walker as your point guard because the game has turned into a bunch of shooters and you need shooters, and Kemba Walker is a good enough point guard. He can get assists.
He's a legitimate all-star player.
Yeah, absolutely, positively. So are they better with Kemba Walker, Butler, and Embiid, or Butler, Embiid, and Simmons?
Well, there's one other part of your equation. They could trade Simmons for something else, more depth to help the team.
Yes.
Because they're thin right now. They have three really good players, and they're thin.
I haven't even gotten to that part of it because you get Kemba Walker for nothing. All right? Nothing meaning you just have to pay him. You don't have to give up players. So the process has long been over. It was never a good process. It was always a failed process. Well, they wouldn't have had. But you trust the branding now. Trust the branding. So I think if Eldon Brand, as smart a guy as he is, understands the same thing I understand, and I think he would do that if he could in a flat-out heartbeat.
Are you going to tweet at him with the idea?
No.
You should.
I'm not going to, because you get all those haters out there. But here's the thing, and Brett Brown has got to stay out of it, even though he's friends with Simmons' father. You cannot let the coach dictate that because he's become too close to his players, not just Ben Simmons, and you can't make a good enough decision when that's the case.
All right. Eight.
Are they better? I'm asking you. Are they better with Kemba Walker?
If I'm bringing back something significant for Ben, then it's a better team. Then you're building a better team. So I'd agree with you.
Yeah, okay. If you're trading Ben, you're going to get something significant.
You build more depth, and you have a better, potentially a better team. Yeah.
Right.
I think that's merit to it.
That's where you trust the
branding. We have to trust the branding. That's the most important. All right. 888-729-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Foles is the quarterback. We're trading Ben Simmons. Things are on fire around here. Dave on the cell. Dave, you ready to talk?
Hey, yes. Hey, how you doing, Howard and Joe?
We're good, Dave. What's up?
Hey, Howard. Yeah. I'm the guy that gave you, them two CDs. You remember?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Did you get a chance to listen to them?
Yeah, they're great.
Howard actually came in tonight. He's like, listen, these CDs I got from Dave, they are impeccable. Dave, what's on your mind tonight?
Listen, Howard, here's the thing. We got two good quarterbacks. We got Wentz and we got Foles. Why can't they compliment each other? Why everybody wants to always, go after one or the other? Both guys are good, so they compliment each other. If one goes down, the other's there to pick them up. Why can't they look at it that way?
that's not what Philadelphia is. There's always a quarterback controversy.
Well, Dave, also, there's an end point to this. Like, this can't last forever.
Yeah, it's done after this year.
The setup they have right now is unique. It's because of the contracts they have. But once they have to pay Carson, they can't keep both these guys forever.
No, because, I mean, Foles is good. Somebody will get him, and he'll be a starter. But it shouldn't be a controversy. I mean, these guys, they go out there. Wentz is hurt right now. So Foles is there to pick us up.
Right. And you know what? And the bottom line is this. And, Dave, we appreciate the call. The Eagles have created this controversy, Howard. And it's not. I don't really think it was their point to do this.
No.
But if Carson Wentz was on the IR, the conversations all week would be different. He's not on the IR.
Yeah, but you don't put guys in. If they need him for the playoffs, you couldn't bring him back for the playoffs.
I understand that. I understand why they didn't put him on the IR.
There's no reason to put him on the IR.
But the only reason we're having this conversation right now is because he's not on the IR. If he was, the conversation would be dead.
No,
Nick Foles would be the quarterback.
No, it wouldn't be dead because then the controversy would be, well, you got to sign Nick Foles for next year. So if you do that, it only accentuates, well, Carson Wentz gets hurt too much.
Well,
He does. They put him on IR because they feel Nick Foles is better. It just regurgitates itself like people are just, eating bad food. It's ridiculous.
Well, there's no reason to be afraid of a quarterback controversy.
But you don't need a roster spot. That's why, and he's not on the IR because if he had to, I believe he could play. If he had to. Matthew Stafford played with this, but he's not. I don't know if he's going to play.
But Matthew Stafford also isn't coming off a torn ACL. Like, this guy is hobbled in three different areas.
Whatever the case, it's just there's no reason to put him on the IR. People that, well, why isn't he on the IR? It's another fair question.
Doug said this injury requires 3 months of healing.
No, but let me explain that. And it was explained to me afterwards, and I knew what he said. I said he didn't explain it all in my head.
Well, Doug rarely explains things fully in these press conferences.
Well,
he just gives you nuggets.
He was obviously told not to say anything. He should have Belichicked him and said, "I'm on to the Rams." Every time I'm on to the Rams. I already told you it. I'm on to the Rams.
Well, he tried to sneak in, "Hey guys, we're playing the Rams," and nobody was having it.
But he's too nice a guy, so he tries to explain it, but he didn't. Once he said it takes 3 months to fully heal, there's probably 15 to 20 players on that team that are going to need at least 2 months to fully heal from what they have, but it's different when you're the franchise quarterback and you're the other player. Michael Bennett's going to take at least a couple of months to heal. He's playing with a bad foot.
Right.
So he didn't explain it all. When he said it's 3 months to heal, that is misleading for you guys to say he should be on the IR. I mean, they could put Michael
what they want. My point is, though, if he was on the IR, we wouldn't be having the conversation.
Yes, we would.
No, because the conversation would change. You're right. But who should start in week 17.
Okay.
No, the answer right now is Foles should start.
All
right,
and I'm going to get hypothetical. Suppose Nick Foles has a poor game, even if they win the game.
Sunday.
Yeah, okay.
Which is possible. Nick's always
okay.
Up and down.
Let's say he has a poor game. Why did they put Carson Wentz on the IR? It's a never-ending. It affects nothing. You don't need the roster position. It's not something where he needs to be off the team and not. They know what they're going to do and not going to do, and they're not going to risk their future quarterback by playing if they feel there could be a problem.
I agree with that, and that's the right thing. And right now, because of the way Carson was hobbled, the more efficient quarterback is Nick Foles.
But he feels good. So from a physical standpoint, I was told by some people in there, that he feels good.
Carson.
Yeah, Carson.
Well, you know what? He could feel good, but he wasn't playing well enough. That was the thing.
But that's a different story.
Right.
That's a different story.
Which is what right now I want Nick to keep playing. Vince in Cherry Hill. What's up, Vince?
Hey, guys. How are you, Howard? I'm glad to hear you back. I hope they have you on more regularly. I've been listening for
I'm glad to be here
years.
With Joe because I try to educate him because
he's
a dope at times.
I know.
Listen, we got dopes everywhere around here, Vince.
I am not a peasant.
Anyway, quick shout out to coincidentally my cousin Joe just called. But anyway, and because of that trade you want to make with Simmons, I'll trade Wentz for Barkley up in New York. But that's not why I called. I called on a positive.
That's stupid. Okay, Vince.
Okay,
I hate to break the news. That's just flat out stupid.
All right, whatever. Anyway,
you can't win without a franchise quarterback.
Okay, all right. Okay, but this is why
they're winning without their franchise quarterback. They won a Super Bowl without him last year.
Who's that?
I'm a big Nick Foles guy. I've been there for a long time. I've followed his career. And I'm not going to get on the negative and compare him to Wentz because it sounds like I'm putting Wentz down. And I'm not putting Wentz down. We happen to have the two best quarterbacks the Eagles have ever had forever. I believe that. These are the two best they've ever had. You want to argue?
Well, you're going to tell me Nick Foles is better than Donovan McNabb. And, yeah, and Donovan had his downfall.
Okay. Nick Foles' accuracy is uncanny. And if you go to the next level, forget numbers and quarterback ratings. The Phillies had it in 93. They had it in 08. And the Eagles had it last. There's an X factor that this guy, and I'm calling to say, we should just be appreciating that we have this guy right now that can bring that. I mean, like you said, Howard, at halftime,
you're not appreciating him because you're ready to trade trade Carson Wentz.
Well, he's appreciating him to the nth degree.
But that's okay. I'm not going to argue that we should do that. I just said that because you're a Simmons trade. I'm not necessarily saying we should necessarily do that. This guy, Nick Foles, is really – he was the only guy that could win the Super Bowl for the Eagles after all of these years. He outgunned Tom Brady. He's just magical. And like you said, Howard, you knew they were going to win. The Eagles players knew they were going to win. The Rams players, they had it. They just had that fear in their eyes. What he brings is, I don't know, it's not a number, but I enjoy it. I can't wait till the game. I can't wait to watch him throw those balls right into the hands. We have Alshon Jeffrey, 8 for 8.
See, there it is, 8 for 8, 160 yards, Vince. You know it.
He's accurate. It's just so enjoyable.
There is something about him. Vince, we appreciate him, man. Vince, we appreciate him.
Nick Foles has played great for this football
team. And he plays great in the big games. The biggest games, it feels like Nick Foles plays his best.
I wouldn't disagree with that based on the past. Without Carson Wentz last year, they don't have those 13 wins.
Right, they tag-teamed it. One guy got on the home field. The other guy closed the deal. But what he said there isn't totally wrong. Like, no, I don't think anyone could have played better than Nick played the Super Bowl. Maybe Carson would have done the exact same thing, maybe. But Nick Foles played as well as his quarterback could play in that game.
I don't disagree with that. Hey, listen, I think Nick Foles has been terrific for this football team. Absolutely sensational. And they're lucky they have a backup quarterback that's that good who will start somewhere next year. It won't be for the Eagles, but he'll start somewhere next year. He's going to get a contract between $20 and $25 million.
I'll tell you what, Howard. I don't know where the Eagles are going to find it. Maybe it is Nate Sudfeld. They're going to need, it's just obvious now, they're going to need a competent backup during Carson's career. He's had a lot of injuries, and the odds are he'll have more. I mean, that's what happens.
Yeah, but it's hard to get a competent backup that is as good as Nick Foles.
Oh, of course. I'm not saying it's Nick, but they're going to need somebody.
They like Sudfeld, but, you know, again, he's got some work, and he's, you know, he's had enough time here that he could probably be a capable backup quarterback, but he's not going to be Nick Foles because of what Nick Foles has done.
Right. Frank in Roxborough is up next. What's up, Frank?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Frank. What's up, man?
Listen, the bottom line is that
I love bottom lines.
Carson is injured, and I wouldn't take the chance of putting him out on the field this year. So Nick Foles is our quarterback right now, and everybody, you know, the team seems to rally around him.
Yep.
And I think he's going to win the next two games. And if he does, there's no way you can take him out.
I am with you on that, Frank. If he's the quarterback in my mind the rest of the season. Wherever the season goes, he should be the quarterback.
And that might be the case. And that might be the case.
And Howard, like, why would you take a risk of putting him back out there? I mean,
well, that's what I try to explain to people. That's what the Eagles are doing. They don't want to take a risk. If they're both, here's the question for you, big guy. If both Carson Wentz and Nick Foles were healthy, who would you play at quarterback?
I'd definitely play Carson.
Okay, all right.
Okay, but right now, Nick is better.
That's it. I mean, that's you're right, Frank. That's it. For whatever reason it is, and it's most likely because of the injury, he's better right now.
Because let me just make a point. Did you watch the Carolina game last night?
Hard to watch with those announcers and the way that game played out.
Yeah, I watched it without the sound on, but I saw it.
Cam is going through sort of the same thing.
Cam Newton, you're talking about? Cam Newton.
Yeah, he looks awful with his shoulder injury. He looks bad. You're right.
Yes.
Blame it on
something. That's because they kept throwing him out there.
You know what? He's not that good a quarterback. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, Cam, but you can tell, Newton. Howard, you can see that he's
or
hurt.
Scam
he's
Newton, not, whatever you want
right,
to call
it. Right, and the point is, Frank, I get it. Like, they don't have a backup that could play, so they keep throwing him out there. The Eagles have a backup that could play, and that they're putting him out there, as they should right now. 888-729-9494, #9494 on your AT&T Verizon wireless cell phones. I just have more confidence in the Eagles right now with Foles. What we saw on Sunday was just, it's a Why different not? Vibe. It's a Why different not? Vibe on Sunday, Howard. You Why saw not? It? Look. This town feels better about the Eagles.
I think there was a lot of factors, and Nick certainly was one of them, sure. But I think there was a lot of factors.
And you know what? Yeah. We'll get to one on the other side. Someone in this town's not getting enough credit. He gets blamed for a lot, doesn't get enough credit. We'll talk about that as well. 888-729-9494. And I got someone here saying that your idea is moronic, Howard, so we'll talk to that guy too on Sports Radio 94 WIP. 6:45 on a Tuesday evening, Joe Giglio, Howard Eskin, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Howard, we got to get to the phone calls and all the Foles talk, but I got to give credit to someone that we – gets a lot of flack around here. But, man, Howard, we're not talking about the defense. It's all about Foles, Wentz, quarterback thing. The defense played its butt off on Sunday.
Great.
And Jim Schwartz, everyone complains about Jim Schwartz. And he's not the perfect defensive coordinator. He's not the best one in the league. He's good, though. And you know, what he did with the secondary he had on Sunday against the Rams hadn't scored less than 29 points in any home game this year. They had averaged 38 points per home game this year. And they held them to 23 points. And really, it was they scored the points in the fourth quarter. They were controlling that game. The defense came to play with the secondary of nobody outside of Jenkins that anyone knew.
Yeah, people do kill Jim Schwartz. And Mr. Happy, Seth Joyner, always whines about them not blitzing enough.
He did blitz at the end this time.
Well, he blitzed. But the blitzes that were counted, Jim Schwartz said today when he spoke to the media, they weren't all blitzes. He just changed some personnel, so different. It was still four-man rush. Yeah, different look. So, but hey, listen, players make the plays, and you want pressure, and you really like to get it from your four linemen.
That's the way they're built.
Yeah, and but to put more people, especially against that team, you want to put more people in the second. But they did a good job.
And Avante Maddox, Howard, that kid could play. They have something there.
He didn't even practice at corner this week. I don't think he's practiced at corner the whole year.
You wouldn't know it by watching that game.
Yeah, he was a corner in college, I think, but he didn't even practice at corner the whole year.
Now, they deserve a lot of credit because that team, even though the Rams are just off right now, that's still a very high-powered offense, and they did a good job. Rich is on the cell up next. What's up, Rich? Rich? Going once, twice, and Rich is sold to Dylan in Philly. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So, you know, well, the first thing I want to say is Carson Wentz is the guy for the future. He's going to be Philadelphia for the next 10 years. And if people can't believe that just because Nick Foles has stepped in and done a good job, well, then I can't help them because there's no way to convince them. But, Howard, my question is for you. So I think now this is my personal opinion that, you know, our offense, you know, no one was, you know, talking about how good Nick Foles was week one against the Falcons when we were at home and he only threw for, 120 yards. But so when Carson Wentz came back in, I feel like now people say that the Eagles simplify the playbook. You know, Doug Peterson simplifies the playbook when Nick Foles is in. But I feel like, you know, Doug Peterson's play calling on offense was kind of protecting Carson Wentz, knowing he had just come back from such a serious injury, you know, quicker throws, and the offensive line was struggling. So we were trying these quick pop throws, these screens, and to get the ball out of his hand quickly, because quite frankly, they didn't want him to get hurt again, and they didn't want to make that knee any worse than it already was.
I think you're overthinking it. I think he calls plays that he thinks will be effective. I think you're overthinking it. Once they put him in there, he has full confidence. And you coach can't worry about protecting because he made the decision to put him in there after, what was it, two games this year?
Yeah, they put
so
him in, on the field.
It. Yeah,
it is interesting, though, because people always say the opposite, Howard. Like, and Dylan, we appreciate the call. Like what Dylan just said, people usually say the opposite, that Doug simplifies things for Nick Foles. He makes it easier. Doug calls a better game when Nick Foles plays well, and he's making things harder on Carson. The opposite, there might be some truth to it. Maybe it's not purposeful, Howard. Maybe he's not sitting there saying, I have to protect Carson Wentz, but whatever reason, whether it's Carson or Doug, they weren't throwing the football down the field this season like they were on Sunday. Maybe Carson just wasn't doing it. I don't know why. But it was a different kind of offense on Sunday. They threw the ball down the field. They have averaged more yards per attempt on Sunday than any game this season. There's something to that.
Yes, and I agree with that. I do agree with that.
Let's talk to who we got here. Well, let's talk to Hassan because he's got something to say here. Hassan, what's up, man?
How y'all guys doing, man?
Good.
Never
Hassan.
Had a bad day in my life, Hassan.
I feel you, Howard. Howard, I was on my way in the house.
Uh-oh.
I normally turn off the radio then.
Oh no, I hate when that happens.
You said some of the craziest stuff I heard.
I know, it's just
Markelle Fultz going number one.
Yeah, and what was it that I said that was crazy?
Trey Ben Simmons.
Why would you give me three people in the NBA right now that can move like he does?
I bet I can find you 20 6'10 guys that could shoot better than he can.
Yeah, and that's the whole.
I said that's the point.
That
can move.
Yeah,
like
there's not many that can move.
The Greek Freak.
Yeah, it's not many though.
Okay. So and
I said three other ones. You got the Greek Freak, you got Durant, and you got Ben Simmons. That's it.
Okay, and what's the difference between Ben Simmons and the other two?
The difference between he's being coached wrong.
Oh, okay.
Brett Brown's fault.
Well, no, because Ben Simmons is using his brother as a shooting coach.
No.
Here's the problem. Or if that's what your point is, Ben Simmons is using his brother as his shooting coach. And he's really done.
That's the problem, too.
Okay,
sure.
Well, here's the problem. Ben Simmons. The Sixers can't go very far if he doesn't even attempt a shot.
Yeah, this version of Ben will hold them
back.
Hey,
Hassan, I'm going to give you two interesting statistics. Since the year 2000, that's 18 years ago, right? The last 18 years, there's only one player in the NBA who shot 1,000 or more shots that hasn't made a three-pointer. Who do you think that is?
Shaq or somebody.
No, about Ben Simmons?
Ben Simmons.
That's number one. In the NBA, in the fourth quarter, foul shooting percentage as of like a week and a half ago. In the
Howard,
fourth quarter, there's
the
six.
I agree with you.
Okay.
He doesn't shoot well.
And he doesn't want to shoot, and you can't win with that. All right, here's my last question. The last question for you, big guy. All right. Are the Sixers better with Kemba Walker, Jimmy Butler, and Joel Embiid, or Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, and Joel Embiid?
I'm going to say Ben. Kevin,
okay, I'm done.
Hassan, we appreciate the call. Here's the thing. I think you said this earlier about the Eagles, Howard. We do this with the coaching all the time. A player doesn't play well, it's the coach's fault. The player plays well, it's all on him.
Blame the coach.
Which is the whole thing, like Brett Brown here with Ben or Doug. Like when Carson doesn't play well, it's Doug's fault. When Carson plays well, it's because Carson's great. When Nick plays well, it's all Doug. It's the players most of the time.
And here's the problem with the Sixers. There's only so many max contracts you can give out.
Threes, probably your max.
Okay, so if you give Ben Simmons a max contract and he's not good enough to take you further than the second round.
You're stuck.
And it's stuck with his contract to trade him, and he's going to get, somewhere along the way, he's going to get a max contract.
Of course he is.
But if he gets it with the Sixers.
Elton Brand basically said that last summer. He'll get a max.
Okay, and that's the problem. I'm telling you, you'd rather have Kemba Walker than Ben Simmons.
All right, let's grab Gary and Maniac. What's up, Gary?
Yo, how are you, fellas?
Good, how are you?
Good, very good. And before I get to my question, Howard, do me a favor, run for mayor in the city of Philadelphia, please.
I could win. I would win. Not I could win. I would win.
Come on, man. The soda tax is killing me, brother.
Yeah, well, you're not the only one. It's a nasty tax that's misrepresented on what it's for, but I'm not going to get into it.
Gary, what's your point here outside of Howard's politics? What do you got?
No, I didn't bring it up.
I know you didn't.
Here's my point. How come, like, I kind of feel unfortunate that I have Nick Foles and Carson Wentz?
You feel unfortunate?
Yeah, I kind of, you know, that's what they're making me feel like. Because I got, you know, a top 10 quarterback, you know, with Wentz, and I got the number one backup. And the league is kind of making me feel unfortunate because we can't pay them.
Well, you should, you know, but that's the way the NFL works.
Yeah, but that's why they try to keep parity. That's one way to keep parity.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you know, a guy like Nick, you know, he'll take a cut and pay to stick around.
Well, he actually got a pay raise this year, Gary. So, I mean, we could say that, but he actually got more money.
Yeah, he did get a pay raise, and, which he could have got a lot more, but...
Well, he was under contract, though. He wasn't a free agent. Here's the thing. I'm not worried about Nick Foles' future, Gary. I'm not worried about what happens to Nick the rest of his career. He'll be fine. What I am concerned about is the rest of the season, and I want Nick Foles to keep playing, and I want Carson Wentz to get healthy. Because what I watched on Sunday was just a better offense with Nick Foles, because right now he's the healthy quarterback, Howard, not Carson Wentz.
Yeah, well, right now, I mean, Sunday he did a great job. There's no question about it. And obviously people hope he does the same thing this coming week.
They're booking the trip to Atlanta for the Super Bowl. You know people are thinking that. Here we go again. It started in Los Angeles last year. Here we go again.
Oh, my gosh.
Howard, you have your plans for February? You ready?
This will be my 39th Super Bowl.
But I'm talking about Nick Foles in the Super Bowl again. You ready for that?
I'm ready for anything. It was fun.
It was fun. Let's do it again. All right, Howard.
If it happens, it would be the most unbelievable story in, I think, Philadelphia sports history.
I think it's 5 times more unbelievable than last year. They had home field last year. Yeah, right. Like, they still have to get in the playoffs this time.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
All right, Howard. We'll hear you on the midday show and then Saturday.
Midday show on, what day is today?
Today is Tuesday.
Okay. Well, am I on with you Thursday?
I'm doing afternoon Thursday. But you're on with whoever's in for me. Rob Ellis, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
So Thursday, you'll be on at 6.
Thursday midday and on with Rob. Yeah. I work with Rob Saturday because I had to leave a little bit earlier to go to Los Angeles. So that's great.
All right, Howard. We'll talk to you soon.
And we'll talk about the Ben Simmons trade again. Yeah. It's all got to happen together. It's not just trade him. You got to get the other players.
All right, Howard, we'll talk to you then. And we got a lot to talk about on the other side. 888-729-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.